Welcome to This Month in Muscular Dystrophy. I'm Kevin Flanagan from the Center for Gene Therapy at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Each month on this podcast, we invite authors of recent publications to discuss how their work improves our understanding of inherited neuromuscular diseases and what their work might mean for the treatment of these diseases. Today, it's my great pleasure to have as our guest Dr. Dennis Guttridge, Associate Professor of Molecular Virology, Immunology, and Medical Genetics at The Ohio State University. Welcome, Dennis.
Thanks, Kevin. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. So, well, among other things, I know that your lab works on a protein called NF-kappa-B. Briefly, can you tell us what we know about this protein and why is it important in muscle and in muscle diseases?
Sure. Now, NF-kappa-B is a big focus of our group. So first of all, NF-kappa-B stands for nuclear factor kappa-B. Nuclear factor because this is a protein that functions in the nucleus of a cell where the DNA is, where gene expression occurs. So it's a regulator of gene expression. And B, because it was first discovered in a B cell, and its discovery occurred back in 1986 from a group at MIT. And since their initial discovery, we now know that this factor that was discovered in B cells and was shown to be a very critical regulator of genes that are important for the immune system, we now know that, in fact, this protein is present in all the cells of our body.
So a regulator protein, then, is one that turns on or turns off gene transcription, gene expression.
Its formal name is a transcription factor, and by that name, it means that it turns on genes. And most of the genes that it turns on are involved in regulating the immune system, either what a B cell would be involved in or other cells of the immune system as well.
So that sounds pretty far afield from muscle, though. What does it do? How did you get to muscle with that?
Well, we have been interested in trying to understand how this protein, NF-kappa-B, may be involved in different skeletal muscle wasting conditions. And we worked on Duchenne muscular dystrophy because this particular muscle dystrophy has a component of inflammation. That means that while the muscle is undergoing degeneration, there is the recruitment of immune cells that are thought to play a role in that injury condition. And because we know that NF-kappa-B is a regulator of the immune system, we thought there could be a role for this protein in this disease. And it turns out that there is. There are particular immune cells called macrophages, which play a key role in causing the muscle to undergo degeneration. And we know that NF-kappa-B is located in these cells and plays an important role to contribute to that muscle injury.
So in Duchenne muscular dystrophy itself, what's been shown? What was NF-kappa-B?
Sure. Well, what we showed is that these macrophage cells that contribute to this inflammation and the destruction of the muscle, that this is just one cell type that NF-kappa-B is localized in. And we know functionally that NF-kappa-B plays a role in these immune cells by expressing factors that contributes to this damage. But the muscular dystrophy is all about the degeneration of skeletal muscle. And we found out that skeletal muscles themselves also have an activated NF-kappa-B in the muscle. And we think functionally what it's doing in muscle is very different than what it's doing in these macrophage immune cells. So what we think it's doing in muscle is that it seems to be blocking the regenerative capacity of muscle stem cells. And this is a huge problem for the patients, is not only do they have an inflammatory component that seems to cause or contribute to the damage of muscle, but it's the prevailing thought is that over time, during the progression of the disease, muscle stem cells sort of lose their capacity to regenerate. And we think that NF-kappa-B contributes to the inability of these cells to undergo regeneration.
I think many of our listeners know this is one of the special features of muscle, that it has this capacity to always, typically, mm-hmm. to regenerate after injury. And these cycles of regeneration and degeneration, this accompanies things like fibrosis and scarring in muscle, doesn't it, in boys with Duchenne muscular dystrophy?
It does. And this is an aspect, that when you talk about fibrosis and scarring, that's one aspect of our lab we haven't yet got into. But there are data from other diseases where fibrosis is also thought to be a contributing factor in the pathology, where NF-kappa B has been associated with those diseases. So I'd like to think that it also plays a role in regulating that scarring that you talked about, but we currently do not have any data in that.
So in DMD boys themselves, in their muscle tissue, what happens if you measure NF-kappa B there?
It's highly elevated. So that work was first published on by a group in Italy that had shown in patient biopsies that NF-kappa B is activated. It was also showed by an independent group in the mouse model of Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which we know is the MDX mouse. And then we have confirmed those data in both patient samples from collaborations that we've done with physicians here at Children's Hospital. And we've also shown that in the mouse model as well, NF-kappa B is elevated. Now, where it's elevated goes back to the function that I was discussing earlier. So we've been able to cellularly compartmentalize NF-kappa B to, again, these macrophages, these immune cells. It seems to be highly correlative to these cell types. And also we find NF-kappa B to be active in the skeletal muscle cells themselves.
So many of the, in fact, probably most patients with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, at least who are walking, are on corticosteroids, prednisone or deflazacort. Does that have a role in modulating NF-kappa B or in this immune cells?
Right. Again, in other diseases, there is some literature that supports pretty clearly that steroids are an inhibitor of NF-kappa B. And so we can extrapolate that in possibly thinking that corticosteroids could be beneficial by impinging on the activity of this protein that's deregulated in Duchenne muscular dystrophy. But those results have not been shown yet, so the data is still coming. But it's possible, because it's a real mystery how I think, and I think you would echo this as well, it's a real mystery how these steroids work, right? They definitely show benefit, but no one's quite sure how they do it.
They don't quite know the pathway.
Right, and so I often get that question, could it be through NF-kappa B, since we know through other studies, again, that that's one of the ways that steroids work, is by blocking inflammation, which is, again, one of the things that NF-kappa B regulates. So it's possible.
Now, some of your recent and very exciting work, and I'll just remind our listeners that there's links to a couple of your papers from your group and your colleagues' work, has been exploring turning down NF-kappa B by using a peptide. Can you tell us a little bit about this peptide and what it is and what the approach is to using it?
Sure, I'll first tell you how the peptide works, and I'll tell you how we got involved in these latest studies we've published. So the peptide, you can think of it as just as an inhibitor. It gets into the cells, and what it does is it blocks the ability of a complex to associate together. Now, we need this complex to be able to activate NF-kappa B. Remember, I told you that NF-kappa B is a nuclear factor. It needs to get into the nucleus. It needs to go into and regulate genes in the DNA. And there is a complex that has to assemble in order for that to happen. And this peptide basically doesn't allow that complex to assemble inside the cell. So without this assembly of this complex, you do not get any NF-kappa B activity. And so this peptide is, it's been shown in, I would say, many disease models, animal disease models, that it's very effective at blocking NF-kappa B activity and can show rescue in certain conditions such as arthritis or colitis or different types of diseases where NF-kappa B is thought to be involved. So we, back in 2007, utilized the same peptide in this mouse model of Duchenne muscular dystrophy, the MDX mice, and we treated the mice. And we looked at the way muscles looked after 4 weeks of treatment with this peptide. And we were amazed to see such an improved histopathology, meaning if you look at the way a muscle looks, and a dystrophic muscle has a lot of immune cells, you can see a lot of muscle damage. What we saw was that there was a lot less prevalence of these immune cells, so inflammation was really down. And that we could predict, because if NF-kappa B is such a strong driver of inflammation, then one could predict that if you block it, you would block inflammation. We saw that. But what we also saw was that we could stimulate muscle stem cells to undergo more regeneration. So we could actually increase the number of new muscle cells. And that's really potentially exciting, because, as you know, gaining more muscle would sort of, again, protect you from the degeneration cycles that occurs in this pathology. So, yeah, so that was all looking at how muscle looks, and these latest two papers was taking the next step.
Before we get to the two latest papers, just to go back for our listeners a little bit, we use this term peptide. We can think of it as a way we've talked on these podcasts at times about genetic therapies or molecular therapies of different types. We haven't talked about peptide therapies before, so it's worth, I think, maybe saying that this is a sort of a fragment of a protein, synthetically made fragment of a protein, a different approach, and one that's, when we might treat with this, is not dependent on a specific mutation. We've talked on here about yes. skipping certain exons or different therapies. This one really is doesn't depend on an individual mutation as an approach to
Correct.
Therapy, is that right?
Yeah, this doesn't go after the direct cause. This doesn't restore the loss of dystrophin, right, which is the protein whose gene is mutated and causes the disease, the primary effector of the disease. This complex that I talked about that causes activation of NF-kappa B, this is what happens as a consequence of the loss or the mutations in the dystrophin gene, right? But we still think that this regulation of NF-kappa B contributes to this pathology. And so blocking this association of this complex that I talked about with this peptide can impinge on the activity of NF-kappa B and can improve the conditions by, again, blocking inflammation and stimulating new muscle growth.
So this peptide, which is called NBD for Nemo binding domain, I know that. You know that. I hope the Disney Corporation doesn't know it or something will be in trouble. So when we use NBD in your latest work, what's your latest work address, these
right.
couple of papers?
So it goes back to what I was mentioning earlier about what we had published in 2007 was the first evidence that in a mouse model of Duchenne muscular dystrophy that we could see improvement. But the type of improvement we saw is that we could look at the muscle under the microscope and it looked better, okay? So that was rewarding. That was nice to see that we were having an effect. But as you know, being a clinician, it's not enough to just say to a patient, your muscle looks better. You want to be able to tell your patient that you're going to be able to continue walking longer or that you're going to improve muscle function, right? And when we mean improve muscle function, we mean our limb muscles. We also mean our respiratory muscles, our breathing muscles. And in the case for these patients, we also want to look at how heart functions. And so what we did in this past year were two separate studies. One of the goals was to say, can we treat a mouse model, again the MDX mice, and can we see improvement in a particular muscle? And the one muscle that seems to fail very clearly in the mouse model are the diaphragm muscles, the respiratory muscles. And the second study was, could we take a separate animal model where we know that there is a dysfunction in cardiac muscle, the heart function, and could we again treat these mice with a peptide and see that we can have any impact on improving cardiac muscle output? And so, fortunately, what we saw, the results were quite promising. In both accounts, we saw both an improvement in the diaphragm muscle, and when we treated mice and looked for cardiac function, we also saw a substantial improvement. And it's important to note that this type of pharmacological approach, in terms of being able to show improvement both in the respiratory and the cardiac muscle, this has not been shown very often by many compounds. So I think it really, in a way pushes the envelope to show that we can intervene pharmacologically, and at least at the level of an animal model, as a mouse model, we can see effects that would encourage us to say we could pursue this type of technology.
That's quite exciting, and of course our goal in the clinic is to keep boys walking as long as they can, but the morbidity and mortality associated with this disease do arise from breathing and the heart ultimately. So a therapy that could address that is really quite exciting. Well, what are the next steps for this as a potential therapy, and what are the next steps for your laboratory?
Right. So we feel like we've been able to obtain data that's promising at the level of the mouse model. But of course we know the mouse is not man,
right.
does not really recapitulate what's going on in patients. So we're taking two directions. One direction is we'd like to translate this therapy to a larger species, which shows pathology. And so we're currently testing the ability of the NBD peptide to see if it improves a model such as the dog model, which has muscular dystrophy. And so those studies are ongoing, and we hope we're going to be able to see some improvement as we did with the mouse. And that would be important because that would let us know, that would tell us that, again, there's possibility of seeing this type of therapy translate to the patient. I think this is an important next step to take. We've learned a lot about what it means to go from a very small quantity of drug to a mouse to making a much larger, manufacturing a much larger quantity of this compound and learning how do we treat a larger species. And that's going to tell us a lot, I think, about how we would then translate that to a Duchenne boy. And the second step we've taken is to try to now see, okay, can we develop a drug that's going to be suitable for the clinic? So as scientists, a lot of what we do preclinically in mouse models often are work with what we call dirty drugs. They're not manufactured to the standard that the FDA would require. And there's going to be a lot of testing in the next year or two to make sure our drug is safe. So in mice, at least, we know we haven't seen any dose related toxicity, and that's good. And not only our lab, but many labs who have used this peptide for many diseases that NF-kappa B is thought to be involved in, nobody's reporting toxicity in the mice. But again, that's just one animal model. So we want to be really sure. So for the next year, we're going to really be now testing the safety of our compound, and we'll be designing it and manufacturing it at a level that would be suitable or clinical grade for use in a clinical trial, for example.
So that's quite exciting. So if all goes well and safe, we're kind of sometime in on a scale of a year or two, this might actually make it into a human trial.
Well, we certainly hope so. This work has been supported by a grant from the National Institutes of Health, and the idea is to translate the NBD into a therapy for Duchenne and to at least by the end of next year submit what we would call an IND, which is to then be able to have an FDA-approved drug be acceptable to go into clinical trial. And the idea would be to work with physicians here at Nationwide Children, primarily Dr. Jerry Mandel, to be able to collaborate with him and be able to potentially do a trial right here in Columbus.
So that's awfully exciting. That's terrific news. Well, thank you for your time today, taking time to tell us about your work.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Kevin.
This podcast is brought to you by Nationwide Children's Hospital. You can find out more about the muscular dystrophy program and ongoing clinical trials at Nationwide Children's at our website, nationwidechildrens.org/muscular-dystrophy-podcast. You'll also find a link to the abstracts of the two papers that Dr. Guttridge mentioned today, as well as a link to his laboratory webpage. Thanks for joining us.